Oh, the voice of Amanda Brown. Nothing like your boss roasting you on your own show. All right, so Jim Bowden's going to join us in a minute here. You know, we had this debate, John, about the Hall of Fame, and I want to sort of get into it with Jim Bowden. He joins us right now. Hey, Jim, how are you, man?
Hi, Jim.
How are you guys? Certainly, the anniversary of Kobe Bryant. I'm glad you're calling the Mamba. Drop the mic moment. We'll never forget. And how about our first place Lakers? What an exciting young team. Now I know you want to get to baseball, but I had to throw that in.
No, glad
glad
you did,
you
Jim.
Did, man. Glad you did.
And they're great. And the show LeBron put on last night was, let's just say, very appropriate. In the he looked like Kobe. He's the first guy I've seen do that in a Laker uniform since Kobe used to do it all the time. So that was really cool.
It really was. What a great game.
All right, so let's start with this. Dodgers, Justin Turner. You know, Justin Turner has been a critical part of all these divisional championships and, of course, the World Series. He's been as clutchy in the playoffs as anybody we've got. The word was he wanted a four-year deal. Is there a chance that the Dodgers are going to still bring him back?
I think Justin Turner will return to the Dodgers. There have been other teams that are interested, including the Toronto Blue Jays, Milwaukee Brewers, Washington Nationals. I even heard the Mets kick the tires on him. Nobody has a four-year deal out there for Justin Turner. I don't think he's going to get a four-year deal. And I think what Andrew Friedman is doing is the right play, which is, look, this is what we're willing to spend. This is how many years we're willing to go. Go to the open market. See if you can beat it. If not, we're here. We want you back. I mean, that's how he's approached it. And, you know, we watched the negotiations with JT Realmuto and the Phillies end today. You know, Realmuto wanted a $200 million deal. He gets $115.5.
Yep.
He wanted to make sure he got 6 or 7 years. Well, the Phillies gave him five, and there was no one else to push it to six. So he took five, and that was it. He got the AAV north of Mauer. But for Justin Turner, I don't blame him for trying to get, you know, this could be his last contract. Get the best deal you possibly can. But due to his age and the analytics that we all look at and the potential of decline, you know, a 3 and 4 year deal probably not going to be out there for him. So I believe he's going to return to the Dodgers. And part of that is because Jeff Breidich, the GM of the Rockies, is taking Ambien every day and just not shopping Arenado or Story for whatever
reason.
Very
weird.
Both a year from now. Very strange.
Yeah.
The Reds want too much for Suarez. The Cubs want too much for Bryant. So Turner returning to the Dodgers makes the most sense right now.
Jim Bowden with us, our friend from the MLB Network, longtime baseball general manager. Jim, explain why Trevor Bauer, coming off of a Cy Young season, isn't signed yet, and what do you think that deal looks like, and who's in it?
Well, Trevor Bauer's running the narrative here. His agent, Rachel Luba, is just following his direction, and the best way to know where Bauer stands is just to follow him on YouTube, to be honest. He's made it very clear that geography and market size doesn't matter to him. He wants to be in an environment where he can have fun. He said that what's important to him is that he can put his own pitching program in place. He can follow his own analytics and technology. He doesn't have to follow the clubs. He wants to make sure that he's with an organization that's going to be a partnership where they can share information to help each other. And he wants to win a world championship, and that's what's most important to him.
By the way, so, Jim, Jim, let me interrupt you there. If you were a GM, would you balk at that or would you welcome it?
Well, he did win the Cy Young, and I do like to win. And I was GM mostly in small markets, so I would have really enjoyed having a pitcher of his caliber in my rotation.
Fair enough.
So I would have probably made a pass for him, just like I made a pass for Ken Griffey Jr.'s earrings and Greg Vaughn's mustache. I mean, sometimes you have to adjust a little bit to win, so I probably would.
You know, there's
so wait a minute, Mace. Wait, Jim, who's in it for Bauer? Are the Dodgers in it? Are the Mets the leader? Where do you think he ends up?
All right, so we've got Angels, Blue Jays, Mets that we know for sure. Okay, we know all three are playing on him. The Dodgers have kicked the tires. I really don't know how far they've gone down the path. Andrew Friedman kicks the tires on everybody. Would it surprise me if the Dodgers offered a short-term high AAV deal? That would not surprise me. But I keep hearing Bauer's words saying geography doesn't matter. But World Series does. So that has to put the Dodgers in Bauer's mind. Although when you follow him on YouTube and you follow him on social media, he really doesn't talk. He talks more about the Angels fan base than he does the Dodgers fan base. So, look, I don't really know. I know the Mets have a significant offer on the table. that's north of $30 million a year. But again, Bauer, you know, he goes to the voice of his own drummer, right? He's going to make this call, and he's a guy that could take a short-term deal with IAV or could take the most years. You just don't know with him. And there's not a lot of information any of us can get because Rachel Luba knows she can't say a word on or off the record. Trevor wants to run the narrative, so we got to wait for him to make his decision.
You know, I look at the Dodgers, and I see a really, really deep rotation. They've got a deep rotation. Obviously, Kershaw is still there, and Buehler's still there, and David Price is coming back, he announced. Dustin May, Julio Urias, Tony Gonsolin, Mitchell Watt, and they get so many guys. Does it even make sense for the Dodgers to invest this heavily, given the fact that they're going to need to sign Cody Bellinger long-term and they're going to need to sign Corey Seager long-term?
I mean, if I were one to come for 1 year or 2 years, it does make sense to me, especially because the Padres, you know, were able to get Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. So to get another proven arm at the top of the rotation would make sense to me. I wouldn't do a 3-, 4-, 5-, 6-year deal, though, for Bauer. I'd walk away. I'd offer 2 years at a nice AAV, you know, maybe 2 years at 70. And if he wants to take it, great. But to your point, I need to have the money for Seager. I need to have the money for Bellinger. And I do trust the young arms. I think you can win the World Series without signing Trevor Bauer. And if I were to invest the money, I mean, my own personal preference, I'd love to see Arenado at third base for the Dodgers a year from now. So I don't think it's a necessity, but it's hard not to sit in that chair that Andrew Friedman has at Chavez Ravine. If you have a chance to get Bauer on a 1- or 2-year deal, why wouldn't you at least explore it? Because, you know, it's really fun to win back-to-back world championships. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it in a long time, and it would be really fun for the Dodgers to do that. So hard to ignore that, but I think it's unlikely, to be honest.
We're talking to our buddy Jim Bowden from the MLB Network. Jim, as a Dodger fan, how worried should I be about the Padres?
They're legitimate. I mean, you should be worried. I mean, look, the Dodgers have the best team in the division, and the Padres are clearly a wild card team with what they put together and the fact they're in the division that they're in. But you have to be, you know, if Darvish and Snell and Lamet can stay healthy with the idea that you got Paddock and Musgrove that's going to give you innings, and you have the best pitching prospect in baseball, Mackenzie Gore, that's going to be ready halfway through the year, yeah, you have to be concerned. Now, the Dodgers have a better lineup. It's deeper, no doubt. But the Padres have added a lot of depth. And you know, as you see K.K. Hernandez go to Boston, well, you know, San Diego brings in Song, you know, signs Profar long-term, and they're building some depth there. So I would definitely be concerned. I mean, I think the Padres are a 90-win team. And if the Dodgers are a 95-win team, the, you know, 5-game differential, all you got to do is get a couple of injuries and anything can happen.
Yeah. All right, let's talk Hall of Fame because the announcement is coming down at 3:15 Pacific time today. There's no automatic lock first ballot guy that's jumping out this year. And the top three guys on last year's ballot were Curt Schilling with 70% of the votes, Roger Clemens 61%, and Barry Bonds 60.7%. They are all in their final year of eligibility. Do you think one of those guys punches their ticket to the Hall of Fame?
Well, the final year of eligibility is next year for all three.
Oh, next
of them.
Year. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No one is getting in this year. Curt Schilling should be getting in. It's a joke that he's not, and he's not getting in because of his personality. I mean, 3,116 strikeouts is more than Hall of Famer John Smoltz got. 216 wins is more than Smoltz. His numbers, you know, are way better than a Burp Blylevin, as an example. And his postseason, Schilling, in four World Series, is 4-1 with a 2.06 ERA. And his
maybe the best postseason pitcher in history. Yeah, yeah, totally agree. But
yeah,
here's the thing.
Bloody stock and all. Yep.
Do you believe in the character clause that is part of the Hall of Fame? In other words, so Schilling sends out these nasty tweets, has sent out nasty tweets about Muslims, has sent out nasty tweets about trans people. Is the character clause, does it even matter?
Well, it's preventing people from getting in, so it matters.
In that way, it matters, yeah.
I mean, look, I've said all along, Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I ever saw with my naked eye, ever. Best I ever saw. I mean, he is ridiculously great. And I go to Cooperstown, and I can't show my kids Barry Bonds because he's not a Hall of Famer. Roger Clemens was one of the best pitchers of his era, not even close. they're not in the Hall of Fame. I think that's wrong. And I think part of the thing that bothers me a little bit is the fact that you've already let in three guys. I'm not going to name names. I don't have definite proof. But if you talk to players that played in that era, three players that used are in. And so now we're going to draw the line because Bonds and Clemens, you know, Bonds said he unknowingly used it. We all know he used it. Clemens denied it. But Congress spent millions of dollars and couldn't convict Clemens, and they tried really hard. You know, I look at this and I say, I get it. But I think next year it's been 10 years, and I think we need to let the best players in. I'm not so sure we shouldn't clarify the character clause a little bit. We have criminals in the Hall of Fame right now. We've got people that committed domestic violence. We got drug guys that are in. And we're going to, what, have writers judge this thing? Like, let's have the best players in the Hall of Fame. And if you want to put the story of Balco with Bonds, let's do that. I don't mind that. But that era, the entire era had, you know, so many people that used. I mean, Sammy Sosa had 609 home runs, and we're not even talking about him. And yet what he did on the field was Hall of Fame performance. So I hate that we're ignoring an entire generation or an entire era of players because of the PED era, which wasn't limited to a handful of players. It just wasn't.
See, I think Schilling is undeniable. I would vote for Schilling. I would not vote for Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds. They would not be on my ballot. Just because I don't necessarily believe what I saw. I don't know what they would have been without those illegal substances.
Jim, I'm with you.
I strongly disagree with that assessment. I respect your opinion. But sitting on the field, I saw Bonds prior to. We drafted him in Pittsburgh. I saw his entire career. I saw Roger Clemens in his prime. Now, I clearly will agree with you that the numbers are inflated dramatically because of the PED use. And their performance late in their career was obviously significantly helped. But so was the pitchers they were facing. So were their teammates. So were the teams they were playing. And although the numbers would have been much different, the fact that they were the best at what they did is not deniable, in my opinion.
Do you think A-Rod ever gets into the Hall of Fame? Is this A-Rod's first chance to be voted on or second?
This will be his first chance next year in 2022. And I think Bonds and Clemens will answer your question.
I agree with
that. If Bonds and Clemens don't get in next year, then A-Rod's not getting in, period.
And if they do, it'll open the floodgate. Yep, you're 100%
exactly.
Right. Jim, it's great having you on. We always love catching up with you, and we hope we get to do it again soon. Thank you for doing this.
Go Lakers.
All right. Go Lakers. Thank you very much, Jim Bowden from MLB Network and also ESPN baseball analyst. All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff in sports that we haven't touched on yet. That's coming up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it is time for The Scoop. I wanted to mention one more time that in honor of the request of Vanessa Bryant and the Bryant family, we are not dwelling on the terrible tragedy of last year. So we honor Kobe, of course, but we're not going to hang on that, and that's because of what the family has asked. All right. John, behind the steel curtain is the Pittsburgh Steelers fan site. They ran a poll asking fans if it's time for Big Ben Roethlisberger to retire. 79% of fans say yes, Ben should retire. 79%. Fans upset because the Steelers haven't won a Super Bowl in 13 years, haven't won a playoff game in 5 years. Roethlisberger has made $252 million in his career. He's owed $19 million for next year. Do you understand the frustration that Steelers fans have in their Hall of Fame quarterback? And if you were Ben, knowing what fans think and that they don't love you anymore, would you retire?
Well, the first question is harder to answer than the second one. If you're the Steelers, do you do you just let him leave? I mean, what you heard Adam Schefter, 18 teams are looking for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Ben's going to be better than most of them, right?
Is he?
Well, like, would you rather have John Wolford or Ben?
Well, Ben. But Ben,
would
I
you rather
Ben
have, okay,
was...
So let's get some other guys who may be available. Andy Dalton or Ben?
Ben.
Yeah, but I mean, if they go into the big market, if they go for the Dak Prescotts and the Matt Staffords, and if you believe certain people, Deshaun Watson, then I think then the Pittsburgh Steelers fans will be jumping through hoops. But what do I always say, Mace? If you're going to fire somebody, you better have the replacement in mind before you do it, or else you get left holding the bag. That's
you
what
know,
I would worry about.
The thing about Ben, for the season, as a starter, went 12-3, threw for 3,800 yards,
yeah, I mean,
33 touchdowns and 10 picks. But he was awful in that playoff game and awful in those final few games of the season when the Steelers fell apart.
I'd rather have Ben than Jared Goff. Wouldn't
yeah,
you?
I'd rather have Ben than Jared Goff.
So, I mean, I wouldn't go right in. Then your second question is, would I retire? Not if that, what's he make, like $40 million?
No, $19
million. Oh, that's still pretty good.
He's made $252 million in his career.
Yeah, if he makes $19 million, I would say you can pay me, and then I'll retire.
I say cap it off, Ben. Cap it off, Big Ben. This is where it ends. Get off the train. The fans don't love you anymore.
By the way, if that happens... Lindsay loses a bunch of mythical money, right?
She's got
Lindsay,
10,000 mythical dollars.
I thought it was
even
more than that. I thought it was like 20.
No, it was 10.
Okay.
It was 10, yeah. I've got it written down. It's
right.
10.
10 grand if he's not on the roster when the season starts.
Speaking of which, I lost 10, $2,000 last night on the Lakers. They laid 11.5 and it didn't cover, so I lost $2,000 on that. All right, it's to you.
All right, my question also has to do with the NFL. We saw 7 head coaching openings this year in the NFL, which is typical. There's about 6 or 7 every year. 6 have been filled. The one we don't know yet is the Houston Texans. Mike Silver from the NFL Network was on a show, on a panel show, and he just decided to tell 100% truth about what's happening in the NFL. I'm going to let you hear this. It's a little bit long. But then I want you to react to it. Here's Mike Silver on the NFL Network stating the obvious what's happening with these coaching openings.
From a global perspective, it's been shameful when it comes to diversity. And look, we all sat there in the spring and we listened to many of our black brothers and sisters tell us what it's been like being black in America and had a lot of poignant conversations, especially those of us in the NFL world. And we heard some things and we vowed to be better, many of us. If you did that and you're watching this play out and you're not speaking up, you're doing it wrong. And I don't want to lock in on any specific thing, but this has been a frustration for decades and the standards are not the same because you keep hearing rationalizations. Well, you need to be a play caller. Well, Nick Sirianni didn't call plays. Well, you need to work your way up. Well, Brandon Staley's only been at it a few years in the NFL. Well, you need to be a coordinator. Nah, Dan Campbell just got a 6-year deal with the Lions and then went up there in a press conference and started talking about biting off people's kneecaps. And, you know, it was a Saturday Night Live skit. And then I hear that Josh McCown, who's a fine guy and a longtime backup quarterback, literally got an interview as the head coach to be the head coach of an NFL team. I know so many qualified coaches, black and white, who that is offensive to, that it just makes my head want to explode. And I don't want to sit here and talk about any one of these specifically as much as I want to just talk about this globally. There is systemic racism in the NFL, especially as it pertains to head coaching hires, and it is not getting better, and a lot of us should be ashamed.
All right, so I think he makes a lot of good points in there. The NFL has the Rooney Rule.
Yep.
Is there anything else they can do to address all of the things Silver just pointed out?
Well, it's an obviously very, very complicated question.
Yep.
So there was an idea that got kicked around about if you hire a minority candidate to be your head coach or your general manager, you get an extra second-round draft pick.
Mace, they passed that. The Rams are getting one because their scouting director went to Detroit. That rule exists.
Did that rule
pass?
Yes.
And they're still not hiring any black guys to coach. I mean, do they need to tip the scales even more?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous that Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a head coaching job. I mean, he works.
The Chiefs
right
are a video game
with Andy Reid. It's he's part of that offense. He can transfer that offense wherever he goes. The only reason, here's what's going on: old white guys are hiring young white guys. That's really what it's come down to. Older guys don't have as much as a chance. Brandon Staley has been in the league for 10 minutes. He actually coached for the Bears and coached for the Lions, or coached for the Bears and coached for the Broncos for a couple of years. But the fact that he got a head coaching job over everybody that has more experience just doesn't seem right to me. Is there a way to address it? I just don't know. If they're really doing that second-round draft pick thing, I don't think that passed.
Well, look it up. I know the Rams are getting compensation. I don't know if it's a second-round pick, but they're getting compensation because their scouting director, who's African-American, went to go be the GM of the Lions. So maybe you do have to give a first, second, third-round pick. I don't know. I mean, no matter what they try, they instituted the Rooney Rule. They instituted draft compensation for people that that promote and hire African-Americans into positions of power. And there were 7 openings and nobody hired a black guy. The league's 80% black. Roger, if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm furious with these teams. And he can't make them hire a minority candidate. He can't do it. But he can make it a huge advantage if you do. And I think we're there. I think he almost has to do it.
You get third round compensatory picks in each of the next 2 drafts.
All right, so it wasn't a second round, but it was a third round. It's still pretty good.
Third rounder is still pretty good. That's a really good draft.
I mean, Cooper Kupp was a third round pick.
Yeah, that's
Russell
a great
Wilson
pick.
Was a third round pick.
Yeah,
but mate, I would actually, like, for example, I'll admit it. I'm a Raider fan. We didn't interview anybody other than John Gruden.
No.
But look what Bruce Arians did. He appointed Byron Leftwich as his offensive coordinator and Todd Bowles as his defensive coordinator. And Arians has had a history of health problems. So, and he even said this. Bruce said this himself. If he dropped dead, one of those two guys would become the coach. And that's part of this, too, is you have to elevate people into positions of power. I'm not going to lie. When the Rams hired Raheem Morris, I think I said it to you. Good. They hired a black guy.
Yeah, absolutely, as a coordinator.
Right.
So, yeah, I just don't. I don't know.
Mike
how
Silver
to
is right, and he should be applauded for pointing it out. And I think they need to do more than they're doing.
Without being callous, I think we need that old generation of owners to die.
Yeah.
Literally, we need there to be a passing of baton, with professional sports owners, whether it be to kids or to sell to younger people, so that those issues become less important. But right now, we're dealing with guys who are of a really different generation.
And I don't understand.
69-year-old, 70, 72-year-old owners, 78-year-old owners. You know what? They just don't see the world the way we see the world anymore.
And I don't understand why the NBA's been able to get black coaches hired and promoted, whether it be Doc Rivers or Ty Lue or Nate McMillan or, whoever else. And
Countless.
The NFL, the NFL just can't get there. Maybe it is old money, like you say. I don't know, but I thought what Mike Silver said was really good.
Yeah, me too. Got to speak up about it. All right, coming up next for you, John, I'm going to get to it.
James Bond, good. I love James Bond movies.
James Bond wore a hairpiece, and I will explain. That's coming up for you. Then we got Radio Tinder, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
John, Sean Connery was cast as James Bond, who is known as intelligent and sly and cunning and, of course, had a sexy nature about him, wound up with all the girls. The guy was thrilled to have the part, especially considering he had genetics working against him. Connery started to go bald in his 20s.
Okay.
And even though he seemed like a perfect fit for the role, there was reluctance to cast an actor who was balding to play the character. Ultimately, Connery didn't let anything get in his way. He proudly wore a hairpiece for every one of those Bond movies from 1962 to 1983. He isn't the only actor known for his talents in baldness. They include William Shatner, Charlie Sheen, apparently, and Ted Danson from Cheers.
Yeah, I had heard the Ted Danson one. You know, another one that's fairly famous is Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, absolutely.
But
here's the thing I'm wondering. First of all, it didn't hurt Connery at all, and he wore it proudly. He didn't wear it the rest of the time. Like, for example, in The Untouchables, he didn't wear a hairpiece.
Right.
He just went au naturel, as they say. Here's the thing about Ruggs. I can pick him out a mile away.
Yes, you have a very good toupee radar. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a good rug radar.
I have no rugdar and no gaydar.
Yeah, because we'll see somebody on TV and I'll go, God, that rug. Now, would you ever wear a toupee, a rug?
Sure, why not?
If you really went stark raven bald, you would wear a rug.
I don't know. It depends how it looked. I would see how it looked. I think a lot of actors wear them that we don't necessarily know wear them.
Look, we live in an era where you can just shave your head and be bald and be cool. I don't know why, you know, you're going to hair club for men anymore. They're not an advertiser, are they?
No.
It never hurt Sean Connery, right? It totally worked for him, but he didn't wear it all the time. Lindsay, can you pick out a guy when he's wearing a rug, when he's wearing a toupee?
Apparently not, because I didn't know most of those guys you just named were wearing a toupee.
Right, and I think actually that there are a lot more actors that wear them that we probably don't know about.
You think so?
I do.
I can pick them out, man. I know. I didn't know Charlie Sheen.
Neither did I.
I didn't know Charlie Sheen.
I was going to ask you about that one. But, you know, they've come
Sean
a long
Connery
way.
Was obvious, and so was William Shatner.
See, I disagree about Sean Connery. I don't think that was obvious. I had no clue.
Really?
Well,
yeah,
even,
no, to me,
even
rug.
Though in other movies he was going bald?
Yeah, the other movies he did, he wasn't wearing a hairpiece.
Yeah,
was
but
bald.
But people put things on to make them look bald.
Oh, so you
as
think
as,
so you think
as much
he put
as
a skin
they do the
cap
opposite.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, or they shave their heads, whatever. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that's your, you know, whatever gets you through the day, whatever gets you through the night, I think it's okay.
Well, you know what I always say about stuff like that is you be you. If you want to get a hairpiece, if you want to get a nose job, if you're a woman and you want to get a breast enhancement and it makes you feel better, go for it. What do I care?
Except
wait, I have
the
a
rug.
Question.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you have such a problem with toupees, Mason, how do you feel about women in hair extensions?
They all do it now.
Well, they have hair to start with.
Yeah, but
right?
Woman, so do toupees. It's
a woman
like
with extensions still has hair to start with.
Right? Same with toupees, right? Otherwise, it
Although,
would be a wig.
Mace, I will say this. I used to work, one of my small TV markets was a place called Beaumont, Texas, and there was a very good sports guy there. And but he was bald, and he couldn't get out of the market. And he was born and raised in Dallas. His dream was to work in Dallas. And one day, out of the blue, he came to work with a hairpiece.
Yep.
And he was out of the market in 6 months.
Wow.
So you know, it does matter to other people.
In Toledo, when I was working radio in Toledo, there was a sports guy named Michael Regai.
He went to Cleveland.
And
I worked with Michael Regai. I was his producer for a lot of the Cavs post-game.
All right, so he
shows.
Was he
Lindsay,
was doing
did
the sports
you, did
every
you
day.
Know?
And, wait a minute. He was doing the sports every day in Toledo, and his hair was failing to cover his head. And one day he just showed up in a rug, and we started calling him Michael Regai. And it was a really cruel thing to do. But you know what? He ended up going to Cleveland. My understanding is he became very successful. Lindsay, did you know he was wearing a rug?
Well, I think you might have actually scarred him for life, because when he came to Cleveland, he was not wearing a rug, as you call it. He instead painted his hair on, and still does to this day, is from what I understand. He works for ESPN, actually, calling college football games.
How does that work, painting
your hair?
How
does paint your hair work? You just like a spray paint?
Yeah, it's like spray paint. And the thing is, like, you're not fooling anybody, because as soon as any glimmer of light shines on it, it's a dead giveaway. So I guess maybe, like,
yeah,
you know,
wasn't that what was running down the side of Giuliani's head?
Yes,
when he
was.
Yeah. Yep.
But John, you use the expression UBU. Isn't, if you are balding, mm-hmm. isn't that you being you?
No, but what I'm saying is, if you want to get an enhancer, like, didn't you have an agent once that said you were never going to be amount to anything?
Yeah, it was Babette Perry. Babette Perry.
I know Babette. I went to college
right
with
out
her.
Loud. So I sit down with Babette Perry. She's my agent. And she says to me at one lunch, she says, let's talk about you getting a nose job. And I'm like, let's talk about you not being my agent anymore. And that was it. It was over on the spot.
Yeah, but she's been pretty successful. She's represented a lot of people.
Sure. I mean, so I think maybe they all have nose jobs for all I know.
But if they do, would you care?
Would I care?
Yeah, I think most women, like Jennifer Aniston's obviously had at least
no,
one.
No, I think Jennifer Aniston is just perfectly flawless.
Yeah, but
I don't think she's
she
had
now.
A thing.
Yeah, if you
I
look,
don't think she's had a thing done.
Google Jennifer Aniston early years, and you'll see a different looking person.
And I think J-Lo is absolutely natural. I don't think she's done anything at all.
But Lindsay
does. What do you think?
Yeah, she's definitely all natural, as you like.
You know, Lindsay, after you brought that story up on Tinder or on a Radio Tinder, she came out and got all mad at somebody for suggesting that she did Botox. Like,
well, she because she said she didn't, and she's full of crap. I'm sorry, but she's full of crap. Do you think it's a bit ironic that she's trying to sell this brand new skincare line, and then she says, "Oh well, I only use this skincare when I mean, come on, let's be serious."
But J-Lo says, "quote I don't judge anybody. If you want to do Botox in injectables, that's fine. But I don't want people lying on me and saying, oh, she's trying to make believe that this stuff works. No, I'm telling you what I do works. Please don't call me a liar. I don't have to lie about things. I've been pretty honest my whole life."
So oh my gosh, actually, you're married to A-Rod.
So are you accusing J-Lo of lying?
Yes, that's exactly what somebody who lies about having Botox would say.
I knew I could get you going on J-Lo.
She can't change her stance now, you know?
By the way, I for some reason the other night I was flipping channels and I ended up on, what's that movie where J-Lo plays a dancer and her...
The strip club one?
Yeah.
Hustlers.
Yeah, there you go.
So I watch Hustlers where she plays a genuinely bad person. And then, the next hour, Made in Manhattan came on. I'm like, what am I, stuck in a J-Lo marathon?
Made in Manhattan.
She's actually, Mace, had a pretty decent acting career.
Sure. Hustlers was a really good movie. Some people thought she should have been nominated for a best actress.
Yeah,
I thought she was great in that.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't terrible.
That little routine she does on the bar at the beginning is just insane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So
you, Jorge.
So George has seen it, apparently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, speaking of lies, I heard that speaking was actually a stunt. That was a stunt double. It wasn't even J-Lo.
Jeez, you are just anti-J-Lo
all
the way.
You're just a J-Lo hater.
That's wrong. I love J-Lo. I just wish that she would be a little bit more honest about her beauty routine.
So the dancing was fake, the Botox. Come on, Lindsay. Give her
a
break.
Yeah, really.
The Botox, you guys are insane. If you think
you're putting J-Lo on blast.
If you think a woman in her 40s who smoked at one point looks like that and didn't do Botox, then you guys are very sorely mistaken. Ask any woman in your life if they think J-Lo did Botox, and they'll tell you.
Okay.
By the way, I want to stick up for Jennifer Aniston. I look at old pictures. I looked at young pictures. Jennifer Aniston is just physically flawless.
Now.
Again, there you go.
Maybe her agent was Babette Perry.
Maybe her agent was Babette Perry.
Oh, that's a good one.
A couple of Babette Perry shout-outs today.
Yeah, by the way, why are we bagging on her? That's not nice.
Well, she's the one that told me to get a nose job.
She was trying to help your career.
Yeah, I don't need... I'm me. I'm you be you. I don't need a nose job.
She was the one trying to get your job. She needed you to be someone other than you.
Yeah, that's not my game. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. And at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, what Les Snead said today about Jared Goff. Wow. That's coming up for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, here it is, lady. Lindsay is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Lindsay, what do you got?
I am a lady. Thank you very much.
Yes, you are a lady. Yes.
Another lady I would like to talk about is Pamela Anderson. She recently revealed that she's quitting social media. The Playboy model announced on Tuesday that she's no longer going to post on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. She said that she's enjoying reading and being in nature and declared that she is free. She also said that big tech companies are seeking control over your brain. Do you think that we'll see more celebrities quitting social media in the near future? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right, absolutely not. Celebrities understand that having a huge social media footprint is necessary, unfortunately, to having a big career right now. In fact, John, you know, acting, smaller roles in acting projects, in shows and movies, they often judge based on how many Twitter followers, how many Instagram followers you have. In other words, if you've got more Instagram, if you've got a bigger social media footprint, you get the job, even though you may not be as good of an actor as the other guy.
Yeah, I can't wait to get off of social media. I think it's a good tool for the show, so I'm on it for now. But Bill McDonald, Stu Lance, zero social media presence. They're both doing just fine. I look to follow in their footsteps one day soon. I agree with Pamela Anderson.
But you think celebrities are going to get off social media?
Well, sure. I mean, like, do you remember who the first big Twitter guy was?
Shaq.
Ashton Kutcher. He hasn't tweeted in years.
Yep.
Shaq doesn't really tweet anymore.
You got George Clooney, Eddie Murphy, Scarlett Johansson.
Well,
Brad
the bigger
Pitt.
You are, the less likely you are to tweet often. Like, for example, our friend Bryan Cranston doesn't tweet very often. Our friend Michelle Beadle doesn't tweet very often.
Not
They're
anymore.
Very selective about
to.
Their tweets. Yeah, she used to tweet a lot. She doesn't tweet a lot now.
I look to follow in your footsteps.
But look, if you are an actor, you've got to have a social media presence or you're not going to get cast. That's actually what they're looking for a lot of the time. It's not just about being a good actor. It's about having a big social media presence. It's a shame that that's the way it goes down, but it does. If you are a celebrity and you want to extend your influence, to grow your footprint, the way to do it is social media.
But wait, I don't agree with you at all. How does having a social media presence help, you know, like a film or a TV show?
Because they're going to tweet about it. Okay, so Joe Blow, I've got a choice between Joe Blow and Joe Public. Joe Public has got a whole bunch of Twitter and Instagram followers. I'm going to go with Joe Public because when he tweets or Instagram posts about the show, it's going to reach
Instagram
more people.
Posts.
IGs.
I'm a Blow fan. I would go with Joe Blow.
I feel like if you're making a good show or movie, then it shouldn't matter. And unless you're making crap content, then that stuff shouldn't matter.
Well, I'll tell you,
right?
I got cast in a show specifically because of how many Twitter and Instagram followers I've got. Specifically.
How many do you have?
I don't know. Enough. More than the average person.
I need to look this up now. Steve Mason, Twitter followers.
Oh, I can tell you. He has 57,000 and change.
Wow. And they cast you for having that only that many?
Yes. Because the other guy had nothing. All right, what's next, Lance?
All about the content. All right. For the first time since 1983, Anheuser-Busch isn't advertising its iconic Budweiser brand during the Super Bowl. Instead, Budweiser is donating the ad budget to coronavirus vaccination awareness efforts. They join other major brands like Pepsi and Coca-Cola in passing on ad spots during the big game this year.
Wow.
Are these companies missing out on that viral marketing opportunity by not airing Super Bowl commercials? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, I think that by Anheuser-Busch donating the proceeds to coronavirus vaccine awareness, it's actually really smart.
Sure.
I think a lot of these decisions, I had this question, that I was going to put in the scoop. I think a lot of these decisions are being made, Mace, because they're having to fire people. They're all taking huge financial losses. It's pretty tough to justify spending $5 million on a 60-second TV ad when you can use it to keep more people employed, when you can use it to do other things. So I think that's probably the genesis behind it.
Yeah. It's by Super Bowl 2020, the cost for a 30-second ad was $5.6 million. Now, I would rather advertise $5.6 million over the course of the year than have one Super Bowl ad. And by the way, having a Super Bowl ad is a little bit like being the host of the Oscars. Everybody's going to judge the ad afterwards and say, boy, they really said, oh, that was terrible. That ad was the worst. We all judge and say, I like that one the best. I like that one the worst. And if you had the worst ad, the one that people didn't like, and you spent $5.6 million for it, that's a black mark on your company's resume. I would rather spread that money out over the course of the year instead of spending $5.6 million for one 30-second slot. And good for Anheuser-Busch that they're giving that money to coronavirus relief and first responders and all that stuff. That's a better way to spend the money than on a really expensive ad.
See, I think it's completely different now in 2021 versus even 5 or 10 years ago, because now they can go viral and then they post them on social media and then you share them amongst each other. I can't remember, like, the last 2-3 years, this is one of the things that we were doing every commercial break. Everyone's like, oh, we got to go find it on Twitter. I want to watch it again. And then sharing it with people, like, share it with, oh, did you see this ad? Did you see that? So I feel like it's worth the money in that $5 million if it goes viral, even for a bad reason. You know, there's commercials, I'm sure, that were complete disasters that people would share and be talking about. So isn't it like all publicity is good publicity? Or
you can argue it both ways. I actually think, though, that if a company is laying a lot of people off, and most companies are, or if they're cutting back because they've been hammered by the pandemic, and I think you mentioned Anheuser-Busch, Pepsi, there was another one.
And Coke.
Coke. I mean, if these companies are taking a bath, and most companies are in the pandemic, then I'd rather see more people stay employed than a dancing monkey on top of a Clydesdale, you know,
or whatever. Like the dancing monkey
by the way, that was the pitch. Okay, we got a Clydesdale. Now let's add a monkey. And monkey dance.
Well, didn't one company, I can't remember what it was, just say, we just spent $5 million and it was a monkey banging cymbals?
Yeah,
and they said, you should go to E-Trade, you know, or it was just 30 seconds of a monkey banging.
But I'll tell you what, that is really surprising. Coke, Pepsi, and Anheuser-Busch, those are three big advertisers. Now, in fairness, Pepsi is the sponsor of the halftime show.
Right.
So they're getting a lot of pub for that, and they're running a lot of spots with The Weeknd, who's doing the halftime show. So they're still advertising, even if it's not 30-second ads.
Wait, who's doing the halftime show?
Pepsi.
No, but who's the artist?
Oh, The Weeknd.
Oh, I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah, The Weeknd is doing the halftime.
They announced that like 6 months ago.
I had no idea. I've never seen a commercial about that or anything watching any of the NFL games.
Yeah, prediction. Do you think people will like The Weeknd on the halftime show?
I do. I think he's really good.
I do not. I don't think it'll work. He's great. He's great, but I don't think it'll work, especially not following up Shakira and J-Lo, the most hated woman in the world, according to Lindsay. I thought they were fantastic during halftime last year.
I never said she was hated.
They've got a lot to work up to. And I don't think The Weeknd dances, right?
He does.
Well, we're about to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I don't think The Weeknd dances. I don't think he's a big dance guy. But we'll find out. We'll find out. I'm betting against that being a popular halftime show.
Yeah, I was saying that because if you've watched any football games at all in the past, 3 weeks, there's literally no other commercial than the Weeknd, this song. Every single commercial break, this song. And I'm just like, not again.
By the way, you know that commercial break is promoting the halftime show.
Mace, that was my point. You missed the joke.
You know what? It had the structure of a joke. It just wasn't funny.
I did. Okay.
Yeah, tough crowd. Tough crowd.
Tough crowd. Yeah, tough crowd.
All right,
what's the next one here, Lynch?
All right. Remember back in the spring when everyone was predicting a big coronavirus baby boom due to the lockdowns and couples spending so much time together? Well, instead, America has entered a pandemic-inspired baby bust. Several states recorded significant drops in December 2020 birth rates compared to the same period from 1 year earlier. The stress related to working from home with children could prompt existing families to reconsider ever having more children. Plus, experts say that the restrictions on restaurants, bars, and other social gatherings also likely reduced the amount of casual sex taking place, which probably reduced the number of unplanned pregnancies in America. Are you surprised that we didn't see the baby boom we originally expected in the spring? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, you know what I'm surprised by, Mace, is that so many relationships actually survived COVID.
Yeah, me too.
I thought there were going to be a lot of COVID-related. I mean, there were some COVID-related breakups, but this news does not surprise me at all, especially people who, and this is, goes for both men and women, who were used to being at work 8 or 9 hours a day and now are stuck at home and yep. realized, oh God, my life is completely different. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me either. Although, you know, you think about it, after World War II was the baby boom because everybody came home from the war and everybody had kids at that point. This feels different. I mean, this is such a dark time. That was a happy time, right? After the war, everybody was home. It was the 50s and everybody was in a great mood. People are in a negative mood right now because this is really, really hard. So I'm not surprised that there aren't a lot of kids coming from this.
Well, they're going to be known as the quarantines later. You get it?
The quarantines.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's very Michael Thompson of you. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, that works. Linz, anything else?
That's it.
Okay, cool. Hey, John, it's National Spouses Day.
Excellent.
What makes Lisa, your wife, great?
You want me to answer right now, or is that a tease?
Yeah, hold that. That's a tease. Okay. And I'll tell you all what right. what makes Juan's okay. great. Juan's great, too. And plus, what Les Snead said about Jared Goff today, it is, I'll say, shocking. That's coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.